That just, oh man. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, say a centurion, came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, say he marveled, and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What a statement for Jesus to make. What a powerful statement for him to make. I want us to look tonight at the subject of great faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you again for your presence. God, help us to know that we too can have great faith, not in ourselves, but in you, because we sang it the second song we sang, how great is our God, because you're a great and mighty God. And so, Lord, our faith can be completely in you, because great things can happen when we have great faith in you. And all God's people said, amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 6. Faith has to be an integral part of our relationship with God. But how many of us would like to have great faith? I'm not talking about a little bit of faith, I'm talking about great faith, mountain-moving faith. Faith to believe God for the miraculous. But great faith cannot be bought. Great faith cannot be learned about in books. It can be learned about in this book. It cannot be traded for worldly possessions. It cannot be bargained for or earned by good merit. Great faith only comes as we come to Christ, as we trust and believe completely in him, and then allow him to work as he wills in our life, not as we will, and as we trust him completely for the outcome. We must exercise our faith. In other words, use our faith, put our faith into practice for it to even be partially great. But great faith is when we completely humble ourselves to Christ and trust in him for the outcome all the way through. Can you say amen? Do we need to have great faith today? You better believe it, especially in the world we live in today. If you don't believe that, you didn't watch the news in the last few days. Hello. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not shocked, I'm not alarmed, because my hope is not in Washington, my hope is in the throne room of God. Can you say amen? We need that great faith in this world we live in today, not only for ourselves, but especially for others as well. Great and miraculous things can be done by the Lord and for his glory in and through someone that will exercise great faith. Great things can only be done by the Lord, and they're only done by the Lord when somewhere, somebody, somehow exercises great faith. I want us to look at this centurion tonight. There are some things about this centurion that I want us to see. So many times we'll just kind of read through a scripture, and we now this is the Wednesday night crowd, and you hear me say that. Thank you for your faithfulness on Wednesday night. Now, he's not a Jew. He's a soldier in the Roman army. But what caused this man, this centurion, to have great faith? And not only to have great faith, what caused him to draw the attention of Jesus and for Jesus to marvel at him? There's only two or three times in the New Testament said Jesus marveled. And both have to do with faith. One has to do here when this man exercised great faith, And the other was in his own hometown when they had unbelief and he couldn't do anything, and he marveled at their unbelief. That word marvel means, on one hand, it means to admire, to draw attention to. But on the other hand, it means to wonder. When he was in his own hometown and they had so much unbelief and he couldn't do many things there, he wondered, he marvels, why? But for this man, for this centurion, this outsider, this non-Jew, this Roman soldier, Jesus is marveling. He's admiring him for what? His great faith. Let's see what something, if we could realize and learn from this centurion. Jesus always responds to faith in actions, but he ridicules doubt. Let's see what brought about Christ's admiration for this centurion. First thing is this, in verse 5, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. The centurion came to Jesus. There's no real lasting faith until you get in touch with Jesus. Come on. You said, Brother Doss, that's pretty simple. That is pretty simple. Can you say amen? There's no real lasting faith until we come in contact with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, this man is a centurion. He's not a Jew. He's a Roman. He does not have a religious background, at least in Judaism. He does not have the religious learning or teaching of the Jews. But somewhere along the line, he had heard about Jesus. Somewhere along the line, he had heard about the miracles he had been doing. He had heard about how he had touched and healed the blind. Now, this is not at the end of Jesus' ministry. This is somewhere from the beginning to the middle part of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus has not been doing a tremendous amount of things. He's been doing a lot. But somewhere along the line, this man has heard about the miracles that Jesus has been doing. He's not a Jew. He doesn't have religious learning. He doesn't know the scriptures. He's just heard about Jesus. Is that scriptural? Can he begin to have great faith with just hearing about Jesus? You better believe it. Romans chapter 5, 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that could be either the written word or the living word. Now this is the thing I want us to see again tonight. And again, this is us tonight. Is this just one particular instance? The thing we've got to remember, and sometimes it just slips our minds, this same Jesus that the centurion is dealing with is the same Jesus that we feel his presence here tonight. It's one and the same. He's not lost his power. He's not lost his glory. He's not lost his ability. In fact, I believe it's much greater now than it was then. Why? Because he's gone through the cross. It's the same Jesus that we're dealing with. Can you say amen? I like that song that we were singing, the second song. I liked all of them, but the second song, How Great is Our God. And this man had heard about how great Jesus was and how he performed miracles to the glory of God. And all this man had was faith in Christ, but he heard and he believed. I'm going to jump way ahead of myself. Here's the awesome thing. So many times we talk about great faith, we think about people, great people in the Bible. You know, Moses and Joshua. But here's a centurion. Can I tell you something tonight? I'm going to kind of look across. I'm going to say every one of us here have way more than that centurion had. How many of us here are not saved? How many of us? We have been born again by the blood of the Lamb. We have the fullness of the scriptures. We have the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. We've been born again. He had not experienced that. How many of us have the word of God? Hello? He didn't know the word of God. We have the word of God. How many of us have a religious background? We do. He had none of that. Now here's the awesome thing. How many of us have been baptized with the Holy Ghost? This man didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He had so little, come on somebody, he had so little, but yet he had so much. Now let's turn around. How come so many times we have so much and yet have so little? But I believe the devil in our flesh wants to keep us down. You know what? I want us, if you want to come away with something tonight, I want us to come away with this. If this guy can do it with what he didn't have, I can surely do it with what I do have. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is, because how great is our God. We can have great faith. Can you say amen? Touch your neighbor and say, you can have great faith. Let me see if I can catch up where I'm at tonight. Amen. How did he come to him? He came to him very humbly and very respectfully. Now here we are, you're dealing with a Roman centurion. They were known for being what? This man is over 100 soldiers. That's why he's called a centurion. He's a leader in the Roman army. He didn't get there by being a nice guy. He's very forceful. He's a man's man. He's very manly. And he's not an easygoing character. He's not a pansy. This man is a man. But when he comes to Jesus, he comes to him very humbly. The first thing he addresses him as is Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Verse 6, if you're there, say amen. Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Then again in verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. This is not this man's natural demeanor. This man's natural demeanor is very strong, very prideful, very arrogant. He's a leader. He's probably a type A personality. But here, when he comes to Jesus, he comes to him and he calls him what? Lord. He humbles himself. He treats him with respect. He treats him with honor. He treats him with praise. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. He comes to him humbly. He came believing with expectation. Why did he come? Why did he come? Because he had a need. His servant was sick in tremendous pain, and it was out of his control. There was nothing he could do, and many scholars believe that his servant was ready to die. Here's a man that likes to be in control. Here's a man that's got control over 100 soldiers. Here's a man that makes things happen. But when it comes to this servant, there's nothing he can do. I'm sure he's done everything that he can do to help him, but there's nothing he can do to help this servant. Can you say amen? But he's heard about one who can. So he relinquishes his control. He acknowledges his lack of control and lack of ability simply by coming to Jesus. Can you say amen? Sin puts you and I in a place that is out of control. And the only hope for us is if we too hear and believe and come to Jesus humbly and reverently and respectfully and give our hearts to him, believing with full expectation. That's called being saved. We know that. But many times lives say life. Sickness, difficult circumstances, hardships would put us in a place that is out of our control. And we like to be self-sufficient, especially in this day and time. We like to think that and know that we can handle anything and everything. But I'm going to tell us, sometimes there's things we just can't handle. Can you say amen? But those things that may be out of our control are never, ever out of his control. The test is, what do we do when we come upon those times? We can learn from this centurion. We can humble ourselves to him and say, you know what, I can't handle this, but I can go to the one who can. Can you say amen? Come to Jesus humbly, respectfully, believing with full expectation. He came pleading with Christ. Again, verse 5, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him. That word pleading means to call to one's aid, to call for, to entreat, to pray to. He came to Christ humbly, respectfully, seeking his help, not for himself, but for his servant who was at home. He called upon him for his help. He expressed his trust and belief in him. He would have never come to Jesus had he not believed that Jesus couldn't do something. And he came pleading, crying out calling on Jesus for his help. Isn't that what Jesus wants us to do? Isn't that what Christ desires for you and I to do? To cry out to him, to seek his aid, and not only for ourselves, but especially for others we come in contact with. How did we get saved? How did we become born again? Romans 10:13 says, for whoever, say whoever, calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's take that another step. What about when we are in a time of great need or facing a difficult situation, facing a difficult hardship, facing a very difficult time in our life? But for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That same name we called upon to save us is the same name we can call upon us to get us through those rough and difficult times. Can you say amen? In fact, Jeremiah 33:3, I love this scripture. Call to me, the Lord says, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But we're not going to get the answer until we do what? Call. We're not going to get the answer until we do what? Call. Till we realize, you know, this thing may be beyond me. I may not be able to know how to figure this out. I need to bring this thing to the Lord, because you know what? God's got the answer. And the Lord, that's his desire, to call upon him, to cry out to him, because he has the answer. Well, what if it's not my way? Well, how's your way working? I've been there. Boy, when we finally submit and say, Lord, have your way. And then when God does, you know, I'm sitting here saying, you know, that's not the way I'd have done it at all. But you know what? His way, Father's way, is always the best way. Can you say amen? And it's always the right way. But he says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. The third thing, he expressed his need. Verse 6, he says, saying, Lord, there again, he's humbling himself. My servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. He's not holding anything back. He is completely expressing his need. Now, there was something went along, a movement happened many, many years ago. Some of you may not remember it, called Don't Confess It. Don't do a negative confession. Don't confess it. If you're sick, don't confess it. This guy didn't fall in that category. Lord, my servant, he can't move. He's in tremendous pain, and he's about to die unless something happens. Can you say amen? Something's got to give. He's tremendously tormented. He's expressing his need. Then look what Jesus says. Jesus has already moved. He's already making his way toward him. Jesus says, look, I will come and heal him. It's a done deal. All I got to do is get to him. Jesus said, your answer's on the way. I'm already on the move. But here's where Jesus, I truly believe, begins to marvel at him in verse 8. Oh, that was my introduction. Here's where Jesus truly begins to marvel at him. The certain centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Lord, all you've got to do is speak a word, and my servant will be healed. This centurion's faith was not in himself, but completely in the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say the word, Jesus. Just say the word. And my servant, didn't say he might be healed, didn't say he could be healed. What does it say? Said he what? He will be healed. He not only responded in faith, he expressed his faith. Lord, just say the word and my servant will be healed. If we expect Christ to respond to faith, then you and I must express our faith. I'm going to say that again. If we expect Christ to respond to our faith, then you and I must express our faith. Can you say amen? If your children fall down and hurt their knee, and they've got pants on, and they come down and they're sitting there, got tears in their eyes, and they say, oh, and you don't know what's wrong, how are you going to fix it? Now, we know the Lord knows what's the matter. We know that he can handle it. Kind of like what we're talking about Sunday morning about guilt. God's got the answer, but sometimes he wants us to confess our need. What's he wanting us to do? Is lay our pride aside, lay our self-sufficiency aside, and saying, Lord, you are my answer, and I need your help. He's wanting us to express our dependence upon him. He's wanting to, and especially in those times when we don't know what to do or how to do it. Again, if we expect Christ to respond to faith, we've got to express our faith. Now, this is the awesome part. He recognizes Christ's authority and the power of his word. 8 and 9, tying together. I'm going to read both of them again. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. He knew, just as he, the centurion, had authority over his 100 servants and men, Christ had authority over everything. Now, I like what this man says. And so many times we miss it, at least I have. I think in the translation, it got lost a little bit. Well, the man's saying, he says, I'm in a position of authority as well. And when I tell one of my men to go, he listens to my word and he goes. If I tell another one of my men to come, he listens to my word and he comes. If I tell one of my servants to do something, they do it. He says, I've got authority over men. But Lord, you've got authority way over more than men. You've got authority over sickness. You've got authority over disease. You've got authority over nature. You've got authority over the elements. Whatever you say, you've got authority over everything. Does that pan out? You better believe it does. He had authority to shut the lion's mouth. He had authority to cause the fire not to burn. He had the authority to speak to the raging storm and said, peace be still. And this man who didn't have all that he didn't have recognized the power of his authority, not only over individuals, but over nature itself. He says, Lord, all you've got to do is speak the word here and that sickness has to go there. Can you say amen? It's got to go. Can you say amen? He says, your authority is so much greater than my authority ever will be. And his faith is in the authority of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I want to tell you something. Again, if this man, with all he didn't have, had that kind of faith, you and I should easily be able to have that kind of faith with all we do have, especially with the fullness of the revelation. Can you say amen? Are we dealing with the same Jesus as that man was? Yes, we are. I believe he's got more authority. I believe he's got more power because he has been glorified. He's completed his mission on earth to a point. The cross is behind him. The empty tomb is behind him. He's seated at the Father's right hand. And guess what he's doing? He's making intercession for you and I. He's still sending words on our behalf. Can you say amen? He's still got authority. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, are y'all with me tonight? And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. All power, all authority, all jurisdiction, all strength, all mastery is given to me in heaven and earth. This man who was under authority and had authority recognized that Jesus' authority was far greater than anything on this earth. He says, I have authority to speak over men. They listen to my words. He said, Jesus, your words changes the course of nature. Your words changes situations. Your word changes sicknesses. All you've got to do is speak a word and my servant will be healed. That sickness has got to leave. And again, Jesus did what? He marveled at him. He said, wow. Because see, his biggest opponents were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who had all the religion, who had all the knowledge, who had all the learning of the scriptures, but who had absolutely no faith. In fact, Jesus told him, he says, if you don't believe my words, and believe me for the very what? Work's sake. But friends, brothers and sisters, tonight, I'm telling you, there's nothing that's impossible for God in our hearts and our lives. If this Roman soldier, again, that had so little, can believe for so much, how much can we, who have so much available to us, believe even for greater things? Can you say amen? Great faith. The Holy Spirit laid a thought on my heart, and I wrote it down to the side. Did Jesus have problems with other folks when he walked this earth? How about his disciples? Do you ever have problems with their faith? Yeah. Man with a demon-possessed son. When they couldn't, the Father brought them to him, to them, and they couldn't cast that demon out. They'd done it before. But somewhere they'd leaked. Hello? The faith had leaked. And they got Jesus out aside a little while later and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, because of your what? Unbelief. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but something about these earthen vessels, we leak sometimes, spiritually. Hello? That's why we've got to stay full of the presence and the power of God. Now, I know that's easier said than done, but I would rather stay toward the full than toward the empty. How do you want to drive your vehicle? Do you want to drive it on 3/4 of a tank or a quarter of a tank? Come on. I believe we can go further on 3/4 of a tank rather than 1/4 of a tank. I believe we can take greater chances on 3/4 of a tank than on 1/4 of a tank. I believe we'll get a lot further on 3/4. But Jesus don't want us to be at 3/4 of a tank. He says that your faith may be what? Full. Faith full. Hello. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me tonight? I got to hurry. Here's the thought. Do we limit Christ today because we are thinking he has power and ability like us? Or do we, like this centurion, truly believe that Christ's ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours and his ability is far greater than ours? Do we recognize, truly recognize the greatness of Jesus? And do we truly understand that he wants to release that greatness in our lives? Number one, for his Father's glory. Well, number one, for his Father's glory. And number two, to bless his children. Jesus said in Luke, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? Good things to those who ask. I believe that's one reason why the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious people of his day, and sometimes even the disciples, they became so familiar with Christ. They lost sight of who he really was. Christ has all authority over everything. He said, Lord, if you will just speak the word. Again, that centurion said, my words can move men. He said, your words can move mountains. Your words can move sicknesses. Your words can change the atmosphere. Your words can change situations. And he's still the same. Can you say amen? Think about this scripture. Very familiar passage of scripture. In fact, I'm going to go there. It's not up there, Sister Sylvia. Isaiah chapter 55, excuse me. In fact, I'm going to go back to verse 8. I'm going to go back to verse 6, excuse me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which it is sent. That centurion somewhere in his heart and his mind and his limited understanding had a grasp on the word and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, your word, when it goes forth, it accomplishes something. It performs something. It makes things happen. Can you say amen? That's right along as it goes in Isaiah. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. So many times we're seeking for this and for that. All we need is a word from heaven. Can you say amen? All we need is a word from the throne room. All we need is a word from our loving big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, just speak the word, and this circumstance in this situation will change, because he's still just as powerful and he's still just as great. Christ has authority over everything. He has authority over sin, sickness, disease, weather, governments, kingdoms, nations, situations. The centurion laid aside his authority, that Christ's authority would rule and reign and have full liberty in this situation. He recognized that Christ's authority was far greater. We must recognize and realize that Jesus Christ's authority is greater today than ever over anything we may face. And we must yield and submit completely to his authority. But here's the other thing. He has given you and I authority. Luke chapter 10 verse 19 tells us this. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's given us authority. Through him, can you say amen? But in order to fully exercise that authority he has given us, we must be fully submitted under his authority. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. But I like what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. We must recognize and believe the authority of Christ. Just speak the word of authority, Jesus. Number five, he was totally dependent upon Christ. Totally dependent upon Christ. Again in verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Do you remember when Jesus was speaking to a great number of the disciples, other than just the 12, and he says, I am the bread of life. My body is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That you've got to drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, or else you have no part of me. And many of his disciples said, you know, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? And Jesus gets in a little conversation with him, and the Bible says many of his disciples at that point turned and walked away and followed him no more. Then he turned to Peter and the 12. The 11 said, Will you also go away? He said, Peter, sometimes Peter made bad statements, but this one was good. He said, where are we going to go? You have the word of eternal life. Lord, you've got the words we need. Can I tell you tonight? He still has the words we need. Can you say amen? Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He believed all the way for the outcome. This centurion believed all the way for the outcome. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Be it according to your faith. How many times do we have recorded in the New Testament where Jesus said that? Be according to who? Your faith. As you have believed, so let it be done. And what does the Bible say? And his servant was healed that same hour. Do you think his servant was healed just a little bit? No. You know what's going to be awesome? We're going to get to meet this guy in heaven. Don't know what his name is, but Jesus knows his name. Because Jesus recognizes what? His great faith. As you have believed, let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. He held on and kept believing, and that servant was healed that self same hour. When we, number one, come to the Lord, when we call upon him, when we express our faith, when we understand that he is the authority, his word still has power. When we are totally dependent upon Christ, when we believe him all the way for the outcome, there's nothing that's impossible for the Lord in our circumstances and situations. Can you say amen? Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. That's great faith. That's the faith that Christ admires. That's the faith that we can have. Jesus said in Mark 9, 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I want to encourage us here tonight. I really do. I go back and I don't know if I've just never seen how much this guy didn't have, but yet he had so much. Does that make sense? He wasn't a member of the First Assembly of God of Ozark. Hello? He didn't have three or four King James Bibles or the Message Bible or the New Living Translation. He didn't have 15 Bibles. He didn't have one. He didn't have a religious background. His mom and daddy hadn't drug him up in church. He hadn't been at church ever since he was a little bitty boy. He probably had never even heard the name of Jesus till he heard about a man that was doing tremendous miracles. All he had was faith and belief in what he had heard about Jesus. Let me tell you something. If he could believe with what he didn't have, my God, we can believe with what we do have tonight. Y'all ain't even getting this as good as I'm preaching this. I can tell you this. God wants greater things for us. That's why I believe he allowed that story to be in there. Because nothing is impossible with God. Tonight I want to ask you something. What are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? What are you trusting God for? What have you been seeking God for? Let faith arise. You have everything you need to have great faith. I'm not trying to discourage us tonight. I'm trying to encourage us. You have everything you need to have great faith, but our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is in God. Can you say amen? We need to have that faith for miracles, not only for ourselves, but for others. Jesus said, when Jesus looked at him, he said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. We need to have that faith to hold fast and endure to the end, even when it looks like our prayers are not being answered the way we think. We need to just hold fast and trust God. The same Jesus that centurion dealt with is the same Jesus we're dealing with tonight. I wonder tonight, what are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? Father, in the name of Jesus.